And welcome everyone to the Experience Grind podcast.
Hi everybody.
This is Ryan, your co-host with
Hobo Jesus, also known as Kyle.
Your other co-host. We're just two co-hosts co-hosting around.
oh my god.
Is that
I love it.
This is what happens when you let me in charge.
That's going up on the website now. Just two co-hosts co-hosting around. Hey, hire us out. We will do co-host for you.
We will. All right. So this episode, we have a game episode.
Yeah, it's our game episode.
It is.
And we're also bucking the trend. Yeah. We are finally in enough that we feel we're going to break it down and give each game and movie from this point on its own episode.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to jam too much in anymore. I think we learned the lesson with Metal Gear Solid.
Yes.
Because, man, we could have talked even more, and we really couldn't.
Because we had to get into the other
game. We had to get into that other game. So we're just going to let each episode breathe now. Sometimes they might come in a little shorter.
Yeah.
But if we want to go longer and continue a discussion, we now have more freedom to do so.
Yes.
So we hope this format's going to work out for us. We're a little excited, a little nervous, but untested waters. We're treading them. You want to give a shout out to our sponsor?
So our sponsor, the lovely Andre.
Extra dry California champagne. Thank you, Andre. For sponsoring our podcast, providing us with your excellent champagne, helping loosen the lips.
It's a naturally fermented champagne.
Oh, it's a fantastic brew, I guess.
It is. I don't know.
I don't know if that's the correct
term. I don't know if it's a brew.
Whatever. Andre, if you want us to write better stuff, give us some type to read on air. We'll totally do that.
It's a perfect chemical mixer with crisp notes of apple and
I tell you, it really
citrus.
Helps us out. I love it. Let's cheers to Andre.
It does. Cheers to Andre.
That's a cheers, folks.
I think that's audible. Yeah. Look at that.
We've said who we are. We are the Experience Grind Podcast.
And you can find us at experiencegrind.com. Check us out on Facebook at Experience Grind. And please send us an email at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. We are very eager to hear from
you. God, we want to hear
you
from
listener.
You so bad. Please.
Not that badly.
Write
Let's
us.
Tone it back.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not that bad.
Please.
You gotta play hard to get.
Okay.
And then they start giving you the reviews and
don't
emails.
Write us jerks. Yeah. We don't even care. Like,
come on.
What do we care?
I get so many emails from other people.
We're two cool guys co-hosting around. Oh, we ain't got
co-hosting.
Time to read your shit. What? So
man,
let's get real unprofessional because we did not discuss this beforehand, and I meant to. What fucking episode number is this going to be?
You're asking me.
Yeah, let's figure this out live on air.
I'm
going
to guess 9.
9? Is that because our sound engineer was just telling you?
Nine. No, I said 9 serendipitously and looked up at 9 lovely fingers.
That's awesome.
Facing us.
So this is going to be episode 9 of the show.
Yes, and as we said, it's a video game episode.
We're almost into double digits, bro.
We are
legit doing this. Everybody, episode 10 is going to be a special affair.
It is.
For us, probably not for you, and nothing will sound different. We might be a little more inebriated like the upcoming Star Wars episode.
That's a bad idea. It's a very bad idea.
So this one is about, this is my number 3 game?
This is your number 3 video game of all time,
which is
Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the PlayStation 1.
Ah, yes.
And Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and 4. It's on PSN Network and it's on the PC. It's on Steam. It's on everything now. So
it's
you
not
can
on
play
Steam.
It.
My God, I wish it was
it's
on Steam.
It's on Steam?
No, it's not. That's what
I'm
saying.
That's incredible.
Yeah, if it was, boy, God, I would have it there too. I own this game every which way it can be owned. Let me say that.
Why?
I love this game, man. I really do.
Okay.
We'll get into it.
We'll talk about
that. We'll get into it. Let's do our normal thing. I've got a story I will tell. Let's get into this question.
Yes.
You have a question this week,
Ryan. I have a question relating to video games.
Let's break this down. I always explain why we do the question.
Because it's fun for us.
It is fun, but I think it exposes us to the audience a little bit. It brings a little bit more of us
humanity,
into them.
Humanity, personality.
Each time, it lets us know maybe why we think or feel the way we do about things. So.
Yes. And I was thinking, what better question to give us a sense of who we are than to ask you, Kyle.
Yeah.
You get a new game. There's a character creation screen.
Ooh.
What kind of character do you create? And then, conversely, how do you level up that character? Like, where do you go first? Like, where are your Where your abilities lie.
Talking, let's just use as a reference.
You have the Saints Row character creator, and then you have the, let's say, like a Mass Effect or Diablo style tree. Like, what do you care about doing with your character?
Generally, I always go, like in Mass Effect, and this is something I've also bucked the trend for when we get to your episode. Mass Effect, I always go, well, and because of the character transfer abilities, I started with a soldier, so I played the entire game as a soldier.
Interesting.
But it also, I generally always go as a strength build first. Maybe with a little bit into charisma, if I'm breaking it down into more of the D&D, the Skyrim aspects.
Yeah, let's do that, like a Fallout, a Bethesda game. I
like to put some into charisma to... I feel myself as a guy... I'm pretty easygoing. Yeah. I'm very talkative.
So you try to make yourself in
exactly
the game.
People generally in my experience like me, and maybe I'm giving a little bit. I can convince people to do things for or with me fairly easily because of that. I feel people enjoy me. They enjoy my company. I'm not an asshole. I am an asshole, but not in the way that like you don't enjoy hanging out with me. I feel I never have a problem having people hang out. So. Yeah, I try to move into charisma a little bit.
Okay.
It'll come back. It helps with bartering and games. It doesn't really help me there in real life. Mm-hmm. But, generally strength-based, except for in Skyrim. In Skyrim, I will always go, or I'm sorry, in any of the Morrowind. God damn, what is it? Elder Scrolls.
Elder Scrolls, yeah, there you go.
In Elder Scrolls, in that type of game, I will always make an archer thief.
So that's very different from the strength builds you usually do. And why is that in those specific games?
Because it's more of the fantasy setting type. And I like that character arc. I'm a big fan of Legolas in the Lord of the Rings, so that's where the archery comes in. And I really like sneaking around and stealing.
Yeah.
Because it gets you a lot of cool stuff in the games and a lot of money. And I never like to worry about money in games.
Okay.
Why in Final Fantasy VII, I will always master an all and sell that motherfucker. Something I don't know if you have gotten to
not
that
gotten
point
that
yet.
Not gotten that far yet. Nope.
That is the easy. You will get almost $750,000. Million gil. Really set you up pretty good for whatever the hell you want to buy. So.
Okay.
That's my tactics. What about you, buddy?
Okay, so I'm very different.
Yeah,
but
I would imagine.
But kind of similar too. So I always make a girl character and never play as guy.
That was something I didn't get. I always make a guy and I always make him look like me. I give him a long hair and a beard.
I try to make it as different for me as possible.
That's cool.
Don't
that's
like
your
to play
thing,
myself
man.
In
it's
a game.
It's fantasy.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want. So, me, I make myself.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to be brutally honest, I make Ramona Flowers every single time.
Oh.
Different color hair, and that's my character.
Now, see, in Destiny, I do that. I play all girls with different colored hair.
Interesting.
So.
Why just Destiny? Like, this interests me how you have a different.
Yeah, it's weird.
For
I don't
each
know why.
Game.
I like to play female characters to a degree, and it's nothing I don't know, I just like, I feel for the most part I'm going to identify with a male character more.
Sure.
And to, again, you know, a lot of times with an RPG that gives you that broad of a range, I feel they're wanting you to project yourself into that character, so I try to do that and make him what would I do in this situation. It gets a little black and white with like the progression renegade paragon system.
Well, that's very interesting.
So that's generally my explanation and reasoning for doing it that way.
I guess I'm completely taken out because I never think, what would I do in the situation? I'm like, this is the character. It is not me. I want to take myself out of.
They do eventually develop into their own. And I actually do find myself playing like, okay, so what would this guy do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
How would he approach this? Oh, he'd shoot these four guys in the head and steal all their money. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't ever get to that point where I have to always be the very good character.
Okay,
I can't be bad.
That is a big difference that we have. I always play as evil as possible.
Yeah.
Like, God, I love to be evil. And started with, Fable?
Yeah.
Fable.
Yeah.
Well, Fable and KOTOR. KOTOR was the first one
you.
Because you could go to the dark side and it changed the appearance of your character. I really liked that.
Yeah.
And Fable took it to a whole new level. You could start to grow horns.
Yeah.
Really cool shit. So I've always gone evil.
I think the only time I ever went evil was at the very end of Jade Empire. Did you play that game?
I did.
All right, so there's a big boss fight, and you can just completely sell out, and there's an option, I don't remember what it is, where you don't have to fight the final boss. And I was like, I don't think I'm leveled up enough. I'm going to choose this. And I'm turning, I think it was turned into a gold statue, and the game ended. And I was like, huh. Okay, I beat it. Whatever. I'm done. So I was pretty happy with that. I went back years later and played better, but...
So, spoiler, that's very similar to your experience with Castlevania tonight.
Yes, it is, which we'll get into.
But, I like Jade Empire a lot. I like when you go the heaven-esque area, and there's all, like, the tigers and the giant elephants. That was... I was not expecting that at all.
The little girl who's possessed by the demon. I think there's a lot of interesting characters in that game. BioWare does characters so good, which we'll also talk about that in a later podcast,
I don't think we got any more Jade Empire because of the fact that it focused on ancient Chinese mythology.
I am so disappointed. And
I think just a lot of people didn't give a fuck. Why do I care?
No.
About it? Yeah. And
I think it was probably their like worst seller.
And it's understandable. It's a weird market to try to crack into. I mean, you do
But that's a good thing, though, because it's very niche and very different.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I did enjoy the game. It was really cool. I liked a lot of the things that they did. I think... BioWare was riding high coming off of KOTOR.
Yes.
And they almost thought like, hey, fuck it. Let's do this Chinese thing.
They're unstoppable.
And they really kind of humbled them a little bit at that point. So.
Yeah, it humbled them, but it didn't completely stop the wheel's progress because then they did Mass Effect, which I was like, bold choice.
I think that would, the Mass Effect series was way bigger than KOTOR even. Because people today don't, a lot of people.
Not have been that
No. I don't think people
very
know
wordy game
would have known about Mass Effect would not exist if it wasn't for KOTOR.
Oh yeah,
but it's weird how many people that love Mass Effect have no idea KOTOR exists. And I think we just got done talking about a lot of Star Wars. KOTOR is my favorite Star Wars game, the first one. I would say so. I know a lot of people don't probably agree.
Okay.
I know a lot of people that do agree.
I think it's definitely up there.
Yeah,
like,
it's one of the best,
yeah. if not the best. Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Cool.
Yeah. But
so I'm sorry, I totally distracted
the character
you.
Creation. Yeah.
Please get back to this.
So
tell me about you.
Always like when there's a chance to, I can either build up my strength and constitution and health. I will do that instead of doing. Here's a fun new spell. I never pick the fun new spell. I always go for the safe.
Exactly. And that's why I generally play a strength character too. I think that's why they're similar.
And that's.
I know if nothing else, I can bash this dude's fucking brains in.
Yes, I can endure. It's going to be an easier game for me. I picked that over the more fun game.
Well, and I like, most games are a power fantasy. I like being the badass that strolls into a room and can kick everybody's ass if I need to. Don't fuck with me. I will destroy you.
Yeah.
If I don't, I will reload the save right outside the door, pop 2 health potions, and then kick your ass.
Yeah, and much like you... Always a warrior. I agree with that. Like, that's... I always go warrior. Like, I could be a mage. No, don't want to. Could be a rogue. No. Warrior. Warrior's just... It seems like the standard. It seems like that's where the game is always most balanced. Like, that.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, too. Like, in... What is it? Dragon Age? I generally always go with a warrior, even though that game kicks my ass because it's not very melee
that
combat
friendly. First Dragon Age, I think that's the easiest path you go, that or rogue, but you do mage in Dragon Age and you just get destroyed.
See, I always heard that mage was the easy road.
I had to quit being a mage, and after like a few hours, I'm like, I'm going
back
to warrior.
Maybe I misread. I could have totally misread.
It could be. Maybe I'm playing a mage wrong, and then that's my thing, because I don't play mages, but yeah, very different, but some similarities between us.
Yeah, very similar. It's in our character creations, but yeah, I always go with a beard, and I don't know. Have you ever played?
Yeah.
Have you ever even heard of this game called Divinity: Original Sin?
I have heard of it.
Have you
it's coming
it?
To the PlayStation pretty soon.
Yeah.
The PS4. I have not
it's
played
hard.
It yet.
It's hard. It has co-op, and I have a buddy that I play almost everything co-op with. And it's really... This is just a really quick side story. It's pretty funny. We both created characters there, and the character creation is not very in-depth. So my character, he had long hair and a beard, but he didn't look like me because he was super... big and buff, which I don't always do. I like the Japanese anime sort of style where it's a little tiny dude, but he can swing a giant bat or a giant sword like with ease. I like that archetype, that contrast. But he's a big, swole dude. I named the character. He looked exactly like Buff Jesus. So his name is Buff Jesus. And then we were just cracking up and just laughing.
Crunches for Christ.
I was fucking had tears in my eyes. And so my buddy Casey creates his character, and he creates Swole Noah, who also has a beard, but he has short hair that's a lighter color. So we rolled around this game as Buff Jesus and Swole Noah and just beat the shit out of everybody until we got to a really hard part, and then we stopped playing and probably moved on to something else, which is what happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So yeah, that's... I think we are very similar in our storyline progressions.
Yeah.
Very different in our character appearance
and stuff. Yeah.
Which is cool. And...
except in Rock Band. In Rock Band, I make popular people. Like, I have Heisenberg from Breaking Bad and Joker, Dave Grohl. I'm just...
oh.
Those are fun. I do that.
I didn't know Rock Band had character creation.
It does. It's
I
not
guess
the
I'll
best.
I'll find out.
Laura, I think, even made an Audrey Tautou. No, it's not Tautou. Audrey Hepburn from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
She's in there. Holly Go Lightly. So you'll see my character creation when we play it.
Okay. I'll
and there's just a random... thing that doesn't fit. I was like, that's Laura. She won Holly Go Lightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Had she just recently watched it?
Yes.
Hi, Laura.
Hello, biggest fan.
Yeah, biggest podcast fan. You know, here's a funny thing, something we should do. I've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's.
It's good. I just watched it with Laura. I've never seen it before.
I'm assuming Laura is a giant fan of this movie.
She is
so
a giant fan of this
Laura,
movie.
Laura, I would like to watch Breakfast at Tiffany's with you.
So there we go.
We could all get together and watch it. I would like to see... I've always heard it's one of those great classic films. I'd like to watch it.
It
what
is.
The hell?
And the pictures most I've seen. Racist character.
Well, yeah, I do know that. It is, what is it? Who is
Mickey
it?
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney as a Japanese character.
Oh, God, so bad with like giant buck teeth. And I think he has like
the glasses?
Makeup to squint his eyes.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I have heard of this, so I would like to see it just for that, too.
Yeah. I think it's a piece of treasure of history.
It's one of those things that, like, people now would probably, like, To Kill a Mockingbird, they want to try to censor, and it's like, dude,
can't censor.
You cannot censor that. That happened, that was a period in time.
Yeah.
Yes, it's awful, you should preface it that way. Like, hey.
Sure.
Like, you know, for a while, they took some of the old Looney Tunes off the air, and now they've put them back on, but when one of those...
Tom's owner has, like, extreme blackface.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
Yeah, well, a lot of the characters do, and all the
crow... I don't know that.
There's a lot of terrible... Yeah. Treatment of black characters in Looney Tunes,
and
but now they've come back to playing them, but
they have a warning.
They do. They're like, hey, so these were made in like the 40s and 50s, and they are just a time piece.
Yes, and
so
that's what it is. Though I think, and we can talk about this more if we do it later. That whole character subplot is very unrelated to the plot. It felt like some director or producer was like,
Mickey Rooney character.
I thought we were has talking no about place in the movie. Like he doesn't add anything. He doesn't.
He just
influence.
Pops in, right?
Yeah, it and feels like out. Somebody high up was like, I don't think this is funny enough. I don't think it's gonna play with the audience. Let's put Mickey Rooney in yellow face, and that's gonna be hilarious.
And so it's sort of like
it's
John
really
Wayne
bad.
As Genghis Khan.
Yes, it is exactly. It's worse than that.
Let me tell you about the trouble of my Asian pilgrims.
The Conqueror, what's the name of the movie?
Yeah, The Conqueror.
Yeah, I read like a whole essay about that movie. And
that's also,
recently.
I think that's the movie they say gave him cancer. Is that the one they shot in the desert?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, and where they did all the nuclear testing.
Yes.
And like more than half the film crew
what
also got cancer.
What a sad way to die.
Dude,
by doing The Conqueror. Horrible.
You're a great man, Duke. Come back and save us.
I've watched two of your movies.
Yeah. Which ones? Do. Which two?
The Quiet Man and True Grit.
I was going to say probably the original True Grit.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I'm a big fan of Donovan's Reef. It's one of his... Yeah, I mean, it was my grandma loved that movie.
There's a very blank look on my face. Yeah. I have no idea.
He plays a ship captain in Florida, I believe. And then, you know, trouble arises and John Wayne's going to save the day. Like
as,
he does.
As John Wayne do.
He fucking better or he's not John Wayne to me, goddamn it. So, I guess... Fuck it. I mean, I have no good segue.
So, John Wayne is kind of a badass loner, almost like Alucard.
I had something else I wanted to say about character creations, and I totally can't think of it.
Oh,
thank
no.
you, Andre California Champagne.
The best champagne.
I love you so much.
It'll get you there. It'll get you to the place where you can't remember your stories about character creation.
I'm going to talk about Castlevania. I'm going to... Bring it back, though.
I want to hear the story.
I have this story, and it's going to get a little sappy if you get a little teary-eyed. totally understand. It gets
Are you
me
talking
there
to the audience or to me?
To you. Okay. Audience too?
If I do get teary-eyed, don't call it out. Don't call attention
okay.
to it.
Okay.
Don't let the audience know.
I'll give you a wink. Yeah. With my, we'll both touch tears and then touch fingers like E.T.
This sounds like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That's what we do.
All right.
So my first exposure to Castlevania, I'm just guesstimating here. I was probably like 6, 7, 8 around there. I had a Nintendo Power. Let me get that out. I had a Nintendo Power issue that was showing off. They were talking about Castlevania, the very first one for the NES. And I thought, oh, wow, this looks really cool. I mean, you're hunting vampires and there's zombies and all this stuff. And my mom really liked scary movies. That's one of the things I remember growing up. I watched scary movies a lot with my mom. And so I was looking at this magazine outside with my friends, and we were like, oh, cool, all these video games. And I saw Castlevania, and I remember going in, taking it inside and showing my mom and being like, hey, check it out. There's this game where you're like hunting Dracula and all these vampires and stuff. This looks really cool. And my mom was like, oh, yeah, that looks really awesome. And I was like, all right, cool. And I went out and I was reading the magazine again with my friends, and we were playing. And I remember hanging out. And like 20 minutes later, my mom walks up. And she had fucking gone to Walmart and bought me Castlevania on a whim. I had no idea. I still remember this so vividly to this day. It's one of the greatest memories of my mom because, like, she just bought it. Like, she saw how cool and how excited I was about it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, this is awesome. So me and my friends immediately went inside and we started playing. We didn't get very far. It's a very fucking hard game. But I remember, it's a good memory. My mom and I would play Castlevania a lot together, just trying to get farther and finding all these little secrets. I don't think we ever beat it, to my mind, because it is very hard. But
it's one of the hardest in video games.
One of those good memories, and I always remember that. Like, her just walking up out of nowhere, and she just hands it to me. And I'm like, I remember my little mind being blown, because I was literally talking to her about it like 10 minutes before. And it's one of those. It was really sweet, and so, you know, thanks, Mom. And I really like that. Even at my youngest, and she always encouraged me. I'm a big dork now, probably because of her. She never chastised me for loving video games and nerdy things.
This is gonna turn into like an "I love you, Mom" episode.
Well, my dad wasn't around. He left when I was young. Mm-hmm. I was raised by my mom, so it was just a cool thing. I will always remember that, and I will always tell that story. So. That's my only
awesome.
Relation. That will be our segue into Castlevania.
Well, perfect. I have a very similar start with Castlevania, which will play into Symphony of the Night and why I have not played it. But also, it's very similar to yours. So, much like you, I had a Nintendo when I was a young kid.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about Castlevania. I didn't have Nintendo Powers at that point. I had Nintendo Powers like around the Nintendo 64 time. And that's when I started getting into Nintendo Power and researching stuff. My parents, my mom specifically, bought Castlevania for herself because she's a horror fan too. Like,
awesome.
She introduced me to like Romero and Dawn of the Dead like when I was way too fucking young to be seeing that.
Yeah.
And Army of Darkness, all from my mom.
My mom loved that too, and she was a big fan of slasher flicks.
Yes. So, yeah. Well, my mom, I think, is really like zombies and monsters, and that's why I'm like zombies and monsters and slasher flicks. I guess,
they're not my thing. I love monster movies.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking monster movie.
Like, yes.
I cannot wait for next Halloween when we just monster out, bro.
Oh, my God. I would love just like a scary movie month where we just have all horror movies October. But anyway, my mom loved Castlevania. Like, and through her love, I started playing it and got really into it. And much like you, I think I got to like the end of the second level. Because it's so fucking... That's the... I think it's all red.
Yes,
and you have
I know exactly what you're talking
Medusa
about.
Heads.
You have some Medusa heads and the stairs, and you've got to make all these jumps.
For the listeners, Medusa heads go in a snake pattern. They go up and down, and you have to time your jump perfectly. Otherwise, they hit you, and there's a knockback.
That's a staple of all the Castlevanias.
Yes.
If you get hit, you are knocked back a couple of frames in the game. So.
And
if you're next to an edge,
with
it's
this,
really
bad. Yeah, it's instant death, and you'll have to start the level over again.
Yeah.
I made it to Frankenstein, which is the end boss of the second one,
I think. Okay,
wow. One time. And it was just so hard. And I loved playing it with my mom, and she loved it too. But, like, I sucked at it. She sucked at it. We sucked at it. So
here's the thing about moms. They're not very good at video games.
No. No.
Try as they might.
No.
They are not good.
But they try. They do try. So I
for
appreciate
us.
That.
So,
yeah.
Hey, moms, we love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a spoiler, there is a plan. Our moms will be on an episode in the future.
We are going to make them play Castlevania.
Yeah.
And
it'll be good time. And we're going to get them super drunk on Andre California champagne.
Yes.
It'll be good times.
But, yeah, so I was just crushed by Castlevania. It defeated me.
I totally feel you.
But, like, it was weird because, like, Mega Man, a notoriously hard game, just made sense to me as, like, a little kid. Like, I could play through that no problem, but Castlevania just whooped me. So I skipped the rest of the Castlevanias on Nintendo. I didn't have a Super Nintendo as a kid, so I missed
Super
Castlevania,
which is one of the best. It's not my favorite.
I hear like that one's so good.
It's good. This, and we'll get into why this is on my list. But I have a lot of reasons why. But you know, taking it back just real quick to the old school Nintendo Castlevania, you were singing it earlier. My God, that soundtrack.
By Koji Kondo. It's one of the best.
That's a staple of the Castlevania series, too. The music is so on point, and it's a note I have coming up in Symphony.
I feel like every single one of your video games is like a top five soundtrack video game.
I would agree, except for nothing really stands out to me in Metal Gear.
Are you kidding?
What do you have?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, I guess it does have that main theme, but...
Do-do-do-do. And then the bum-bum-bum... Bum, 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 like the boss fight where it picks up. Like, are you kidding? Metal Gear is iconic.
I'm not disagreeing, but to me, it's not something. That's the only one on my list I don't really latch on to music wise.
Shadow of the Colossus is so good.
Yeah.
Like, Final Fantasy VII. Oh my fucking
God.
Every song on the Final Fantasy VII.
If you don't have it, I have
the
4-disc soundtrack to Final Fantasy VII.
I had it on my iPod that got wiped. I might borrow it again to burn it.
I'll just throw it on the jump drive.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's...
It's so good.
Nobu Uematsu. Fantastic composer. It's the only thing I really miss not being at Square anymore.
I know. He did... All right, so we're just going to sidetrack. Sorry for people who don't like digressions and sidetracks, but we're going to do one right now. Nobuo Uematsu did Lost Odyssey, the Xbox 360. Did you play that?
Here's some... I did not like that game.
Oh, my God. How far did you get?
I got like 20 hours in, man.
Oh, are you kidding? Okay, so I really liked the opening battle, and then I struggled for the first 4 hours, and then...
That game gets...
I was in after that. Like, I loved Jensen. I loved, like, the two kids.
We should do an episode on that. I would like an excuse to play it again.
Yeah.
The thing that I really hated, it's my problem with Star Wars. The most important parts of that game are given to you as text-based backstories. And you gotta fucking
disagree. They're not the most important parts. I think they're like extra tidbits that amazing.
I thought they were big character developments for Kane.
There's some. Kane, the main character. Kane. You get like his imprisonment story.
Because he's like a billion years old or something.
He's an immortal. Like, I think half of your party by the end of that game, they're immortals.
They're immortals.
Yeah.
But, and you have, what's the Jester? Jasper? Is that
Jasper, that's what it is. It's not Jensen.
I don't like that character. His design is so weird to me, man.
You'll love him by the end of the game.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody has such a good art.
It's something I would look forward to playing again. And another one that they did, that was Mistwalker.
It was Mistwalker.
When they broke away, the three bigs from Squaresoft broke away.
But Nobuo Uematsu stuck around, and that's one of his best soundtracks.
Well, that's
one thing.
He joined Mistwalker.
Yeah.
And he also did the soundtrack for Blue Dragon.
Blue Dragon. And
I also own and have never played.
There's another one. I've made it like 5 hours in Blue Dragon. I can't get into that one either. I want to. I'll go back. But
hey, man. This podcast is the perfect excuse to play shit we've not played.
We need to play that because I will tell you, my favorite RPG, Lost Odyssey, above
any
Final Fantasy game.
Wow, goddamn
it!
So I'm gonna have to play it.
It made me cry.
Wow.
At more than one point, it's so good.
I cried in 7 when I was a kid.
When?
Of course.
Knife.
We'll stop there. I mean, if you haven't played 7, you're going to fucking find out anyways. But yeah.
We're going to spoil it.
Wow.
I think
Lost Odyssey, I'm blown away right here. Because, wow. I did not see that.
Loved that game.
I will have to replay it. I'm sure you own it. I don't own it.
I do.
So.
I'll let you borrow it. But,
Let's get into this.
Castlevania.
Hey, we're getting into it. It's fine, baby. It's fine.
So, Symphony of the Night, when it came out on PlayStation, I finally had it. Skipped it. Because I was like, that game's too hard. I don't want to play it.
What was your exposure to? Did you rent it? Or
no,
you
just, I did not.
You knew it existed, but you didn't care.
I was like, I can't do it. It's too hard. It's not my thing. It's too hard. I can't do it. And it intimidated me and kept me away from it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then like it came on, I think there was like an Xbox Live sale. And it's like $250 for Symphony of the Night. I'm like, I'll buy it. And then I bought it and it just sat there because it intimidated me still. It's still like, even to this day, like I looked at that game and I was like, ah, I can't do it. It's going to be hard because of that soul-crushing NES game.
Yeah. So I guess Castlevania Symphony of the Night, for a lot of people, the first time they played this game, they played it when it was called Super Metroid.
Oh, snap.
So, and it has gone on. This game was such a different change from the general Castlevania formula. Rondo of Blood, the prequel, is somewhat similar, but still not to the vein that Symphony of the Night is.
Simon's Quest is, too. I think Simon's Quest is a big open world.
It's open world, but it doesn't have, and this is why I love Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Not the progression stuff.
The RPG elements that
come
in.
Oh, that specifically.
Which is not something that even Super Metroid has. And so, but when Castlevania came out, like, every game in this genre, this game created its own subgenre with Super Metroid that is now called Metroidvanias.
Or Igavania. Because Igarashi has taken this back and he has claiming it as
his own now. I still, because of the way I've been brought up and exposed to, I will always refer to them as a Metroidvania because it started with Metroid and Super Metroid. Mm. I think Symphony of the Night perfected it. I don't think anything's come back to it since this one. I'm very anxious.
What do you mean has come back to it?
I think this is the peak of this style of game.
Did you ever play Shadow Complex?
I did. Shadow Complex was very close. Fun. I didn't get the same sense of wonder that Symphony of the Night brings to me, even still to this day.
I think it's because Castlevania has the fantastical elements too, and Shadow Complex is very grounded.
It's very future tech. I mean, I had a lot of fun with Shadow Complex. I beat that game many times, but a big part of this game to me, and maybe it's the way I was brought up, and it's one of my notes here. Dude, the sprite work in this game is amazing. And it's something that I feel gets lost in Shadow Complex because it has 3D models and everything just feels kind of drab and uninteresting. Like
Which
nothing.
Is everything nowadays is
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Nothing really stands out, whereas the sprite work and the character design in Symphony of the Night, dude, is just so far above everything, man.
You are preaching to the choir as somebody who loves Mega Man and Shovel Knight, like anytime a game comes back, it's like we're gonna do 8 or 16-bit, like
Shovel Knight is fun and it tries again to somewhat capture this, but dude, this is the perfect example of this genre. This is the high point where everything will try to achieve to.
Okay. I'd argue that I don't think Shovel Knight's trying to be Symphony of the Night as much as Mega Man.
Yeah, I mean, it has aspects of all of that. That's what it's a newer game. I could add an addendum. The DS games, Aria of Sorrow and Harmony of Dissonance, are direct sequels to Symphony of the Night.
Same director, same
and,
game director.
Yeah, Alucard even makes appearances in them, even though they take place in like the year 2066.
Oh, I would not even know the years.
Yeah, they're very future based and they're cool and they kind of get it. I have a lot of fun with those games too. I've beat them both a lot. But again, to me, this is like everything is on point in Symphony of the Night.
Okay.
And I would like to kind of take reins here and start off that I believe this opening segment is my favorite opening segment of any game ever because of once you get to Dracula with Richter Belmont, one of the Belmont clans who are lifelong vampire hunters, it has some of the best dialogue ever. It's very hammy, but it's very fun. So it opens, the opening scene, Richter rolls in, it's very hammy. I'm not lying, he says, "Die, monster! You don't belong in this world!"
Your voice acting is about on point, too.
So that they have this back and forth, and there's another cool thing about this game. This game came out before Metal Gear Solid, but every line in this game is spoken. It has all voice acting for all the major parts. There's not a lot of it.
And it's not good.
It's not good, but it's there. Yeah. And it has this weird compression, like, because they didn't really know how to fit vocal audio. Mm. But
I'll tell you, just avoid it on Xbox Live, too, because I have it through the Xbox Live Arcade, and the sound is completely butchered.
Oh, man.
Like, the first word or two is completely dropped off when I played it. So they'd speak, and the first two words weren't spoken.
Wow.
Which kind of...
killed it.
A little bit. It kind of killed the atmosphere. And I was like, well, maybe if I, like, restart my system or do what... No, it was just pervasive. I deleted and reinstalled it, and still. So the Xbox Live Arcade port, there might be some bugs out there. I would not recommend that version, because it does step all over that spoken dialogue.
And it's not a lot. But it was something very cool at that point. I don't really know why I stumbled upon this game. I think it was one of those word of mouth things. Mm-hmm. But I remember loving it the second I put it in. And my favorite line of dialogue from any game, anytime, ever happens right here in this game.
In the opening?
Yes.
Which is?
It's after Richter has made this big speech, and it's right before their fight. And it's a really cool line anyways, and I sometimes throw it out on various social medias, but it is Dracula speaking to Richter. He says, "What is a man? A miserable pile of secrets! But enough talk! How about you?"
Mm.
Oh my god! That's so hammy and so awesome!
I just don't share the same enthusiasm for this.
I fucking love that opening scene. It's so badly great. I don't know, man. Again... That's the question of each other of this podcast, is why is that what you identify with? I cannot tell you, man. I fucking just love that line.
I am just I'm biting my tongue over here at this. You saying this is like your favorite game opening, and on your list you have Final Fantasy VII, which has a better opening, Metal Gear Solid, which has a better opening. Yeah. Halo's is whatever, and Shadow of the Colossus.
I'm not denying
whatever,
it. I'm just telling, like, I don't know why. I just love this. I'm smiling every time I start this game and this part happens. It's so dumb. So silly. But it's so fun for me. I love it. I love it.
I'm glad that you love it and that you're so excited about it. I'm so...
like, I'm
it's
so
like
excited.
A foreign language to me. Like, I don't understand why.
I think this is something that you don't have either. I don't have any tattoos, but if I had a tattoo, I would get... "What is a man? A miserable pile of secrets."
No,
somewhere
no.
in like old English script, maybe across my shoulder blades.
Oh no! I always want to get like a Mega Man 8-bit sprite somewhere, like a Mii tool or something.
Yeah.
But what is a man?
I'm not saying it's well written or well delivered. It's just fun, and it's
I guess.
I don't know. I love that.
I thought it was. I don't even think it's bad. I just thought it was. It was fine. It's serviceable. Like, it didn't get me pumped for the game. It didn't do anything. Like, I like the idea of, like, you're super powered at the beginning, and then you go up, and then you lose everything. Like, God of War 2 style.
You're talking when you start off as Alucard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Death comes in, he takes all of your gear, and you're left with nothing.
Empty. You have to start again. I like that. But, again, it's like... God of War 2 I played before this, and that's like the issue, is going back after playing so many other games, like, I've seen better openings now. At this point I have seen better openings, so it didn't blow my mind like it would have back in 1997 when it came out.
And so here's you did play this on your Xbox, and that's my least favorite way to play it. I've played this
that's
game
fair.
Like I've said, I own this on PlayStation 1. I still own my original copy. I own it on Xbox Live. I own it on PSN. I've played it again on my PS3.
Why?
I've been playing it on my PlayStation Vita. Dude, I'm telling you, like...
I can understand, I can understand buying it on your PSN because that does shift to your Vita.
Yeah.
And then you can play it on the go.
And my PSP. I've played this on my PSP.
Why would you get it on Xbox Live Arcade? Did you just really need the achievements?
Well, at the time, I didn't have my PS3. I only had the 360, and it released on there. And I was like, well, shit, I know I can get all those achievements. That was an aspect, too. Okay. But again... I didn't want to hook up my PlayStation 2 or my PlayStation 1 to play it again if I had it on the Xbox 360 for like $5. So that's why I own it so many times, because I love this game that much, man. Yeah. I will always, again, I think I told you, I don't know if I ever said it on air, but I play through this game like once a year, man. I always play this game. I know a lot about it. And what's really cool, this is what I really liked, playing it this time just for the podcast, just for fun. I didn't even need to, but I just wanted to.
Look at you.
I found out something completely new. I never knew about this game. But some of the weapons have special attacks.
Yeah, that you have to do like the, like almost like the Street Fighter
inputs.
Yeah,
the Hadouken.
Yeah.
I did not know that until playing it like fucking 4 days ago.
In fairness, I think I put maybe 12 or 13 hours in. I only figured it out like 10 hours in, like way too late in the game for it to be useful.
I've played this game like once a year since 1997, and I never knew that.
Yeah.
But it's also because of the way I play. I play up until I get one sword. Which I think is the best sword in the game.
You have broken the game. You know which game.
I always.
What's the winning?
I love to break the fuck out of this game. That's my favorite part. Yeah. Because Alucard is the son of Dracula. He is the half. So he's half vampire, half mortal woman, which makes him pretty fucking badass. I feel he's very Japanese androgynous anime character style. But he's just so fucking cool. So slick.
Okay.
I've always liked him. I had a big thing. I think I played 7 before I played this. He's very Sephiroth to me, too, because he has the long flowing white hair.
Okay. I can see that.
So.
It is the, not specifically from the game's Final Fantasy, but that famous artist who does, like, the artwork.
Yeah.
Looks very similar to, like, the portraits in Symphony of the Night. I don't know if it's the same artist or it's just very similar.
It's a different
gear.
It's actually a girl who draws all the Castlevania characters. And she's really renowned and respected Japanese artist. I cannot think of her name. I'm not even going to attempt it. But she's really badass.
Okay.
She draws a lot of cool ones. I'm really taking lead here. I know. You start dropping me some things here.
Okay. So, all right. The grind. The experience grind. How I felt when playing this. So, you've heard my history. You know... I skipped this for so many years.
This was your first time
This is the first time I played this. Not even just playing through to completion. This is the first time I've touched it.
Okay.
I've not played any of it. I've not played any Castlevania since that first one. None of them. So, very fresh to me. It's interesting that you brought up the special moves that each weapons have, because I feel like that is a pervasive game design here. Is you're not gonna know anything. The game doesn't
tell you anything. No, it's where there's sirens.
Should I wait for that emergency to pass?
Somebody's dying. It's not our problem.
The game does not give you help. It doesn't give you hints.
It does not. It's very Dark Souls in that aspect. You know, I reference Dark Souls a lot.
Harder than Dark Souls.
Really?
Wow. Not hard. No, not difficult hard, but I think it's more obtuse than Dark Souls. It doesn't tell you anything.
Okay, yeah, there are, I think, 8 spells in the game that you would have no idea that Alucard can perform until you stumble upon them or read about them later on.
I'll tell you exactly. Like, all right, so my first time booting this up and playing it, you have a HUD at the top of the screen. You have hearts and a blue bar and then a number. Hearts, obviously your life, right? Like in any fucking game. Wrong.
No, they're
wrong.
Not. Yeah.
Hearts are not your health, which is like, I don't understand. It's your magic, or is it your magic,
it's your
special
usage.
Use? Yes.
Yeah. You have,
your magic,
you actually have
is
two bars.
Blue bar.
The blue bar, and then
and
your
then
health,
your health is the little number that you barely see. So for the whole first part of the game, like, I'm getting hit, and I'm like, whatever, I just pick up these hearts, and my health's going up. And I die, like, over and over and over again, because I think my hearts are the health, and I'm picking up all this health, and I'm not. I'm getting, like, fucking creamed every corner, and then it's like, it finally clicks. I'm like, my God, that's not even my fucking health. So I have to, like, rethink what I'm doing.
That's hilarious. See, and, you know, I guess I kind of had assumed, we never really talked about it. I kind of assumed that you had played this game before.
No, I've never played it.
So, you know, I guess I'm glad now that you went into this completely naked. You had no idea what was happening.
None.
So that's really interesting. I like that aspect.
Yeah. Also, I just saw a note on my page that I love about the Japanese translation issue, since you were talking about the dialogue.
Yeah.
There's a line from Maria at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly
says, like,
what you're going to say.
What do you hear?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
like, what are you doing here? Yeah. It says, what do you hear? Not like
what
here.
Do you hear?
What do you hear?
They try to like get this really old English aspect
because
it takes
place
in like
Shakespearean.
Yeah, it
like
takes
delivery.
Place in like 1300 or some shit. But
yeah.
So you played it on Xbox. This is what I want to know because this is one of the best aspects of this game to me. Mm-hmm. But this is why I don't like it on Xbox.
No.
How did you feel about the controls?
I thought the controls were perfectly fine on the Xbox.
They're fucking tuned precisely, man. Aren't they? Like,
yeah.
Alucard does everything that you want him to do when you want him to do it.
I was leading for a, you're wrong.
No.
Yeah, no,
That's my only problem is that even with, like, the Xbox's terrible D-pad, like...
Well, I didn't play on the terrible D-pad.
Oh, you didn't?
I used, like, a Mad Cat's fighting pad
for
Street
Fighter. Oh,
that's
right. We talked about this. Yeah. So you had a better D-pad.
So I have,
so...
like, a nice 8-way scroll
okay.
on the D-pad that's
okay.
perfect, silky
okay.
smooth.
Yeah, so that makes a big difference. Yeah. Like, he controls fantastically. I fucking love that.
That's my third bullet point on this is just in caps, fun combat system.
It only gets better.
It's fun.
Yeah. And, you know, again, this has RPG aspects in the fact that Alucard starts at level 1 and you can get him all the way to level 99.
Which I didn't even come close. I think it was like 30 by the time
you
finished.
You can beat Dracula at like level 50. You really only get to 99.
Dracula is the bad ending?
No, Dracula is the true ending that we will get into because you never got there. Because
because this game doesn't tell you fucking anything.
Clue us in. Which I like. That's to me, that gives it that old school RPG feel.
It does. I feel like it's an antiquated design. And much like the same way like you felt with Mega Man, like I don't know what order to fight the bosses or this and that. Like that's how I felt with this game. There were several points like I just don't know what the fuck to do here. Oh, I have to get this item that's all the way on the other side of the map? Oh, I would have never fucking known that. And there's, like, several moments that are just, like, you don't know. Specifically, like, the one that comes to my mind without even looking at my notes is the clock room. There are, like, 5 different fucking things you can do in that room that you would never know.
It's the central unless
room you, like,
to the game.
Tried fucking everything.
And the biggest part, you get the two rings. It's a silver ring and a gold ring.
That
one has...
Fucking absurd.
One has the words, where, clock,
yep.
and the other one has the words, in tower. So when you wear both of them, it says, where, in clock tower. Again, I like that. If, you know... As a kid,
I picked up the second ring that's just at in tower. I was like, I guess that means something. And I never found the other piece until like I finished the game. I was like, oh, I didn't find the true ending because I have to find this other ring. And
so this game has multiple endings. You can beat the game in about what'd you say?
I think about 10 hours is what I beat the game in.
Okay.
And the bad ending boss, like I was only like a level 21 or 22. Like I didn't have to really grind. I had, in all honesty, like I had an FAQ next to me and like a walkthrough because there are some things like I just don't know where things are. Like I don't know.
And that's
the
understandable. This game was made before FAQs, and the way that you were supposed to play this game, if on the Xbox, if you press, I believe it's the back key, the map is right there. It pulls up a map and it shows you where you've been, and it will show you what has not been discovered in the sense that, like, every time you go through a square, it adds a blue square onto it, and sometimes you'll see a door, or sometimes you'll see a passageway which isn't completed. And that lets you know that, like...
You should explore in that area.
You should go check that out, and maybe... When you went to another area, you got something that let you get farther there. Like maybe there's a key that opens all the blue doors in the castle. That's one of the first things you get.
I don't think I found that key. I think I had to buy it.
Yeah, you buy it from the librarian. That's
which is also like it's something like when you're scrolling through that list, if you don't carefully study the items, you miss that. Like I did. And then I went for like there were like 2 hours where I was like, I don't know what the fuck to do. I'm going around. And that's when the FAQ started. I was like, I'm going to do this because like – I just don't have the time between this and, like, all the other games I'm playing
now
to do this. I need to, like, know.
But I'm saying, to me, as a kid in 1997 playing this, that's what I did. I'd check out the map. Oh, wait, I haven't been here. What's over here? Yep. Go check that out. Oh, shit, I got these boots that let me do a double jump. They let me flap my cape as a bat wing sort of animation. And I can now get a much higher. It's really cool.
That's...
That's how it breathes. That's how you're supposed to play. I understand.
I still think even with you playing like that, there are several points in the game where, like, you can explore all those rooms all you want and get all the items, and you still don't know how to use it. Like, you'll get, like, the soul of bat or soul of wolf or whatever, like the transformations. Mm-hmm. And at no point does it tell you what that even fucking is. Yeah. You're just like, I got something. Okay.
And it turns on.
It's not in my inventory. In you have to go into the and the, like, relics. So.
I will tell you, there are some, like,
one time I pressed, like, the wrong button and I turned to wolf. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Have I had this the whole game? And I looked up and I was like, no, I got this, but it doesn't tell you.
I believe
that
the
that's
wolf
an
is
issue.
R2 or right trigger maybe on Xbox.
It's the right bumper RB.
Okay,
I think.
So it's the top one, and then bat is R2. Missed is left bumper.
The controller I had on had like six face buttons, so like one of the triggers was on there. So I don't really know, but I just randomly pressed the wrong button one time. I transformed into a wolf. And like the
wolf is the most useless form.
It's useless. It's completely useless.
The only cool thing you can do with it is if you get running up to full speed, you can run through an entire hallway of enemies, and you like kind of damage them, but they don't hurt you.
Oh, okay.
You just kind of charge through them. But again,
I never use the wolf.
Once you get missed in full form, where you can just pass through enemies, if you're not looking to fight...
I played this game wrong because I never use mist unless it was like the puzzle door, like the
bars
had to go
through. Mist, when you first get mist, you can only use it when you press it. It only lasts for like 2 seconds.
Yes.
And then you get another relic that turns it into form of mist, and you can stay in mist as long as you want or as long as your magic holds out. Huh. And then the third upgrade for mist, which you will get in the inverted castle if you continue to play, is poison mist, where mist, it turns yellow and you can hover over enemies and damage them.
Huh.
It's really kind of cool.
Okay.
I like that they all have level up aspects. Like,
but the wolf never gets better.
The wolf does. It has. I think that's when it, like, originally you can't run through the enemies, and that's one of the upgrades you get, is that you can charge through hallways.
Oh,
but
okay.
Again, it serves no real purpose. The only cool thing is that when you're in wolf form, you can bark. Have you done that?
Yeah. I had the wolf bark. Bark. Yeah. And so. Yeah, I can see how, like, a kid, when they had this, like, they're just going to explore and, like, try
when you have nothing else to do.
But, yeah, like,
but
look at
games.
My fucking sack of unplayed games. Yeah. And it's like, I cannot just, like, try every single combination in this clock room
You know, a big thing is nostalgia. Again, I guess for me, it's a big part of my list. But, man, this game hits all my nostalgia notes, too. Mm. Like, I remember being a kid and playing this game for hours and just checking out the castle and seeing where else I can go. And
I love that. I love the exploration. I just, like, you know, I said, there's a few points where it's just like, how in perfect hell would you know what to do here?
I was at a point where you were, just as you told me today, I remember being blown away when I found out there's a completely second castle to this game. Which you have to beat the true boss of the regular castle to get there. So your first boss, you can beat the game. You defeat Richter Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
You find these pair of glasses.
Which isn't even easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
But then you can find this pair of glasses that you, if you read the description, it says, shows you things that you cannot see.
From Maria, right? She gives it to you.
And if you don't have any reason to put them on, but if you put them on and they only serve a purpose for that fight, when you wear them, you see this green orb floating around Richter.
Yep.
And if you defeat that orb...
And you just have to attack the orb and not hit Richter.
If you defeat that without killing Richter, you break the spell that's actually been put on Richter this whole time, and he thanks you, and then you continue playing from there. And that's where you start to find the gold and the silver ring, which when you wear them in the clock tower, the bottom of the clock tower splits open to reveal this section in the middle of the map.
Mm-hmm.
Where the dark god Shaft lives, who is trying to resurrect Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
So you go and fight Shaft, and you kill him, and then you return back to Dracula's throne room, and there's a section beyond that where you go in, and you press up, and it teleports you to the entire same castle you've played this entire time, but everything is upside down.
Yep.
And this is where you started to have your troubles.
Yeah, so here's some behind the scenes info for you guys is I started playing Symphony of the Night like immediately after top five. Because it's a game like I really was looking forward to playing, and like I was like excited when Kyle was like, number three is Castlevania Symphony of the Night. I was like, fucking yeah, I wanna play this. Like, good, this is gonna give me an excuse to play it. So I played it right away and I loved it. Like, I loved everything through that first boss. And even going back and like finding all the items to get to the secret ending to go to that second castle, I was like, awesome, like, this is great. But I didn't know that at the time, so I beat it. I got the bad ending where I fought Richter. I was like, well, that was anticlimactic. Oh, well, yeah, it was still fun.
It is very
fun
anticlimactic,
game.
Though.
Yeah.
Something, it just
fun
sort
game.
Of
9
is.
Out of 10. Love it. Like, really good. And then today, right before the podcast, like, I was kind of looking up information, and it's like, oh, what? It's trivia? There's a whole second castle?
See,
you
this,
have to do... Oh...
This is something I almost wrote you today, and because again, this is something we didn't discuss. I had assumed you'd played this and you knew that there is a second castle to this game.
I know nothing, and so, I knew nothing about this.
Again, being me, 1997-98, playing this game, thinking I've beaten it, and then being told,
"Yeah,
dude, that game gets so much more, dude, and you become so much more badass as you play it. There's so much cooler
back
bosses.
Then you have so many fewer games because you're a kid and you're not spending
you're
all
not,
your money on games. You'll have
games
that
whatever the fuck you
extra
want.
Income. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have what you get.
Yep.
Until next Christmas or next birthday.
Exactly.
So I can see you being blown away as a kid. And like, I would have loved that too if like I beat Mega Man 3. And at the end, you're like, guess what? Wily made a whole game again, except you're doing it in reverse. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, bring it on. But like, today doing it, I was like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it wasn't like a good surprise now. It's like, oh, fuck, I guess I gotta put another 10 hours. It was just kind of depressing. But, I was like, it's fine. It's going to be fun. Well, like, I enjoyed it the first time, but it was just like, oh, shit, I'm not done. I hate the inverted castle. I hate it.
They
right
do
now.
Some things. I agree with you in the fact that, like, for some reason, a lot of times your double jump just doesn't make it to where you need to go. And
I don't think it was designed with the inverted castle in mind.
But it was in certain parts. You're like, oh,
I know there's some stuff that's like redesigned.
It's like, oh, I totally see what they're doing here. Like, this works both ways. But then there are some where
oh, I've not seen those rooms yet.
Yeah, you will get the. It is hard, especially the very first parts of the inverted castle, because that's where I was. I just got to the inverted castle in my recent playthrough yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And so I know exactly what you're saying.
I think like almost immediately if you keep going to the left, there's like a room, the clock, the gear room with all the Medusas.
That's the worst room in this entire game.
And
I hate
it's so close to the beginning too. Yeah. Like, I got past it, but it was like, man, this is really bumming me out.
I guess maybe you learned it reading your trivia stuff, but there are secret doors in that clock room that you can only get to by, there are three gears in two different rooms that you have to keep striking until they make this loud chunk sound every time you hit it. Until
I didn't know
exactly.
That.
But if you turn all three to where instead of going kunk kunk, they just go click. You turn all three to where they click, it opens a completely new section in that tower that you had no idea was there, but you would not know unless you were just fucking around hitting the gears or reading the shit. That's what I love about this game, man, is all this weird shit that is just there. Again, you know, me, I've remembered it my entire life. Yeah. I just know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to hit these three gears.
It's like you said, it's very Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And it's like this sort of thing excites you as a person. For me, it gives me so much fucking anxiety, and I don't like it. Like, Mega Man is hard, but it's like there's a stage you need to get to the end. You need to beat that boss. And it's just your skill has to get better. This is like I'm overwhelmed by the choices and what I don't fucking know. And it fucking wigs me out playing, like, especially in the inverted castle. It's like really doing me in.
The inverted castle, though, man, that's where you get the best items in the game. Of course. Yeah. I mean, there are three amazing swords in the inverted castle that are game breaking. The best to my, and it's the one I always go to, it's like the Yasatuna. It's a katana that when you press the button once, a la carte, like on the screen, you have this ribbon of attacks that comes out, and it hits an enemy like 8 times on one button press. But the greatest thing about it is you can just hit square, and he continues to use it as he's moving forward. You don't have to stop to attack anymore.
Oh, okay.
So it's like you're a constant bulldozer of, and it hits 8 times. When you get leveled up, man, it is just doing massive damage, and you're just mowing through enemies. So once you get that, it makes it crazy, awesome, and easy, but it's a rare drop from an enemy that is only in one section of the game, which the three best swords are that. They all drop from these three enemies, and you got to have this ring that makes rare items drop more frequently.
Yeah.
Again, it's very RPG. Like, this game broke the Castlevania mold.
You say RPG, and I don't know. I feel like I disagree with that, because, like, the RPGs I play, like, there's NPCs you can talk to that will tell you and give you information and hints. I feel like there are no hints in this game.
Yeah, when I'm saying it like that, I'm meaning in the sense that, like, hey, there's this great item that you could get if you know all these ways to do it, but we're not going to tell you.
Okay, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Like, in that way. And, like, there's these mystical...
I'll give you that.
...fantastical things. Like, I don't know. There's one... And this is something that I did. I've only done this once, but there's a weapon called... I believe it's called the Mazamune. And it's another katana.
From, isn't that Sephiroth?
That is the Sephiroth's sword. It's a very common Japanese mystical sword. But in Castlevania, when you strike an enemy that bleeds with it, you can draw that blood from as Alucard and you heal.
I actually think I had this one.
You might have it.
Never got blood on enemies, so I put it away.
There are very few enemies that actually bleed in the game. But the unknown secret about Mazamune is that it also levels up the more blood that it drains. But it's a very slow process. So what I did...
So the listeners couldn't see my eyes roll into my back of my head.
It's nothing like... You can beat this entire... That's what... You can beat this entire game on 50, never getting any of these rare swords. Yeah. And, nothing is preventing you. It's all extra flavor, which is what I love. But at one point, I had taken... I got the Mazamune, and this was after I'd beaten the game a lot, and this I had read about this, that you can do this. You can level it up by taking a turbo controller, going to the very beginning of the game.
Oh, with those zombies.
Not the zombies, but the infinitely spawning mermen. The fishmen. And you go and you hang out in the corner, and you tape down the attack button, and because of the fact that it heals you, and they constantly spawn and constantly try to get to you, you just turn it off and walk away. And I max this sword out, and it literally one-shots everything in the game. Every boss, everything. Nothing stands in your way once you level this thing out to 99. It takes a long time. Huh. I think I left the PlayStation on for like 3 days.
What the hell?
I mean, I wasn't doing anything else. You just change the channel. Watch something else.
Okay.
Tape the button down. But I remember specifically going to Walmart and buying a $5 WWF controller because it was the only one that had a turbo function.
Oh, yeah.
So I did that. I taped that shit down. I got that bitch to level 99. I just one-shot at every boss just because I hadn't done it before.
Yeah.
I'll never do it again, but I have done it.
I think my fight pad has a turbo button, but
there you go, man.
I think it might destroy my 360 if I leave it on for 3 days. I think it might
destroy
itself. Yeah,
360s don't take that shit very well. So, I love this game, man. That's really all I have to say.
I'm conflicted because it's not like... So Halo, I completely disagree with you on. Yeah. This one, I'm like, I get it, but just for me, it doesn't work for me because I know exactly why you love it, and I love that about it. I wish I could. It's just, oh man, it gives me anxiety not knowing stuff.
That's so weird, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I'm the type of person too that doesn't play through games more than once unless they really hit the right chord for me.
Yeah.
And so like a game like this is like where I'm trying to get as much as I can out of one playthrough, it makes it not fun to kind of go in blind. Like I have to like look up all this stuff. So that's why I get anxiety, because like I have to get like the full experience.
Yeah, I
like,
can see that never, and that's what's crazy to me. You having never played this, I can see it totally being overwhelming because for such an old game on a system, there is a shit ton of stuff in this game.
Yes.
A literal fuck ton.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. And that's what I love about it. And again, I grew up with this game. That's the differences where you were never exposed to it. Yeah. Whereas, again, I am not lying, audience. I play this game once a year to completion. Full castle, full inverted castle. 200.3% of the map is the full...
Oh, yeah.
Is the full percentage you have.
No, you could do more, apparently.
If you
I read
glitch
today,
through,
like
I never
a
glitched
level
through.
Break, or, like, you upgrade one of your minions, and, like, it allows you to break the game. And
yeah, you can glitch through the walls. But I just go for the 200 and maybe it's 200.1. It's something.
I think it's 203. I think you're right. It's 203 point something.
So that's, you know, I fucking love this game. And, you know, coming back, playing through.
I think if I got it as a PlayStation 1 game, like when it came out, I think I would have too. I think I would have been right there with you.
I don't know yet. It might move up the list when we do the revisit. I don't know. Just because I have been playing this game again, just when you have, and it's so much fun to me. Like, as much as I've played it, there are times when I die and things kill me. Bosses still get the best of me. Enemies still get the best of me.
Man, we haven't even... All right, so we can wrap this up in a minute.
Yeah.
But I really want to talk about, like, the bosses, like, I think are just, like, the generic, like, you just kind of have to hit and dodge, and just get the pattern down. But there is one that blew me away. I was like, this is brilliant. And
It's from
the
first
castle, please. It's before the inverted.
Is it the boss that is a giant sphere of bodies?
Yes!
Is that not the coolest boss in the world?
I shat my pants when I played this. I thought it was so brilliant.
Millions of dead bodies everywhere, and you have to hack them off of him, and they fall, and then they become living animated corpses that attack you.
Oh my god,
it's
I
so fucking
it.
Cool, man, it's, right?
All
right,
so whatever I say about the rest of this game, like, we make a top 5 boss list, this is going to be on it.
He constantly is on there.
I love this.
What you didn't get to, there's a really cool one in the Inverted Castle, too, whose name is Beelzeboss, or Beelzeboss, actually. And what he is an entire room. He is a giant dead corpse reanimated hung on hooks that sends giant flies at you as well, and you have to cut off each individual body piece.
Okay, I'm going to have to play through
it's
the Inverted Castle.
It's such a fucking cool boss fight. You just walk in, and there's this giant fucking rotting body that is literally like one of the boss arenas wide. Fucking cool, man.
Yeah, you've just talked me into beating this game again.
You should. I really wish you would, man, because this is my number 3 for a reason. Like, the Inverted Castle, like, it is hard, but eventually... And you do have to use a lot of the time the double jump into bat. Dude, I'm doing it right now, I'm telling you. It's just part of the Inverted Castle.
You going through it gives me the strength to keep going, because, like I said, the Inverted Castle crushed me a little bit.
It can
but
be
I'm
a little...
But I'm going to push. Okay, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to do it.
We'll talk about it, revisit it. If you have questions, man, you know, always call me. Talk to you about Castlevania Symphony of the Night any of the time.
The fuck am I doing here?
So what? I'll wrap it up by saying, again, a constant theme with me that revisits and you will find is fucking music. I love the music in this game,
it
man.
It is so good. music-wise, great soundtrack all the way through. Loved every room, every new theme. And then, like... Laura was talking to me about something, my wife. She was on the couch as I, like, beat it for the first credits. And then the credits start, and it's the old NES theme kind of remade. And
with,
she
like,
was,
a big slower orchestral version?
And she started off with something else. I'm like, Laura, just wait. Just stop. Let me... I want to listen to this music, please. Like, no disrespect, but just, like, stop for, like, 3 minutes. Like, I want to hear this. Like, the music is so good.
My favorite song in this entire game, and sometimes, you know... Again, I'm a giant dork. I used to just go to this section of the game and just leave it here and just listen to this music and do other things. But I love when you're down underneath the castle in the caverns with all the frogs and things.
Yeah.
That like
the
real...
ice maidens.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I don't even want to disrespect it, but that that music is so mood setting and like easy going. And they're
peaceful.
Exactly. It's very peaceful. And they're both sections. That section when you're in it normal and when you're in the inverted, they're different. But they're both, they hit that peaceful, just enjoyable fucking thing, man. So that's my final thought is, I love this game.
All right. I guess my final thoughts and my whole experience summed up is I really, really enjoy this game. Being so fresh, like it's hard for me, like competing against like Metal Gear Solid on your list and Final Fantasy because... Those have nostalgia for me.
Yeah.
And I think I still put them above.
Okay.
Even playing through Final Fantasy VII currently now, I would put them above Castlevania. But I definitely think Symphony of the Night's better than Halo. And I'm playing through Shadow of the Colossus now. I think it's a better game than Shadow of the Colossus, too.
It's in a list of PlayStation 1's greatest. It is up there in the top 5.
It might be a little bit frustrating now because some of the game design is like very obtuse, and that's just how it was back then. So it could be frustrating for new people going, but I'd fucking recommend this to anybody. Like, this is a great game. Like, it's just a good game. Like, I have quibbles, and the lore and the dialogue do absolutely nothing for me, unlike Kyle, who eats up the lines, apparently.
Love it all.
But it's just a fucking phenomenal game. It's solid.
Well, good.
It's just solid. I'm glad. Solid game.
I do not deny that it has its problems, mm-hmm. but I think the fucking greatness outweighs those problems to insurmountable degree.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if the game stopped right at the inverted castle, and I'll push past and we'll see how I feel.
Yeah.
But if it stopped there at the bad ending, I really wouldn't have much negative to
say. A lot of people did not know, and a lot of people were fine mm-hmm. with it ending there. But mm-hmm. there is a lot more beyond it. So
yeah.
Hooray, man. That's gonna wrap up our episode.
Hey.
Episode number 9. So, you know, again, we've said it before, please check us out on the internet, experiencegrind.com, mm-hmm. find us on iTunes,
yeah,
subscribe, give us a 5-star or 1-star review, or any star in between, we'll take them all.
Yeah, yeah, I love 1-star reviews, please,
yeah.
Tell us how badly
we suck.
Let us know
how we suck.
Yeah.
So, signing off, I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And thank you. What was the co-host line?
I don't remember.
I don't either, but we did it to you. We co-hosted your faces off.
co-hosted them, I know.
Thanks a lot, guys. See you next time.